Wow. Have you had the pleasure of interacting with young children on FaceTime? Or Zoom, or Video Messenger, or Google Meet, or whatever platforms many of us have just discovered since March? There's a shockingly accurate meme out there of elementary school Zoom. Here, I'll put it on the screen, so it should be right here. And in it, the teacher is attempting to call everyone to order, and so there is one kid who is showing off her dog. Another is yelling, "Am I on mute?" Another is announcing, "Oh, my chair fell over." Another is holding up their dad's shoe, which, by the way, is like my 7-year-old Sarah. That's what she does. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. She will show it to her whole class. And then there's the kid who is coming up really close to the screen, so you see his whole face really big. That's what Luke does, my 10-year-old. Luke actually shows, if you've had the pleasure of being in a Zoom room with me with my kids around, Luke will come up and will come behind my computer and will show up upside down, covering the screen. It's very exciting. It really is amazing that anything gets done in these Zoom rooms. I mean, they've sort of gotten used to it by now, but it's just so clear that their main desire is just to be seen, to be noticed, to be recognized. And kids have no qualms about making themselves seen. Do you too long to be seen these days? That, to me, is the beauty of these two stories that we hear paired together today. Samuel and Nathaniel. They both are seen by God. God called out to Samuel, "Samuel, Samuel," and though he does not recognize that call as God's voice, he comes. He knows he must respond immediately, and he jumps up and goes to his teacher, his mentor, who finally realizes what's going. The next time he calls, says Eli, "Say, speak, for your servant is listening." And so he does. God sees Samuel. God sees what Samuel will become. God sees the servant heart that is within him. God sees his potential, his promise, his faithfulness. God sees Samuel and gives him a mission of prophecy. You know, Sarah, the one who likes to show off random household items on Zoom, she hates cleaning her room, but if she is somehow convinced that there is a holy mission for her, then she will be the first one in line to do it. She fights over the opportunity to take the food to the dining room table. She just wants a mission. She just wants to be seen as having something to offer. Do you know that feeling of needing to be seen? Of needing people to know that you are there and have something to offer? My sense over the last few weeks in talking to many of you is that you long to be... Well, you long to be in the Yoast parlor over here, seeing people walk by and being seen and sharing stories. But perhaps even more than that, you long to be seen, to be understood, to make connection, to feel connected. God sees you. God calls you by name. Jesus, in the story we heard from the gospel, Jesus sees Nathanael. He sees him even before Nathanael realizes it. He sees him under the fig tree. Jesus sees the hope in Nathanael's heart for the promise of what Jesus is to be, and yet it is inseparable from the doubt that speaks the words out loud, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Even as I've heard too many people utter, can anything good come out of Baltimore? And lately, can anything good come out of D.C.? Jesus sees our hopes and doubts that grow like twin vines wrapped around one another. The hope of what life might look like once we can return to life as we hope it will be. And yet, a doubt that life will never quite be the same, and even when we get back, will still the same horrors and terrors repeat themselves that have just been a part of our narrative here in this country. Jesus sees you. Jesus calls you to follow, knowing the hopes and doubts that are in your heart. God sees Eli. God sees the havoc wreaked by Eli's sons. And God doesn't sugarcoat it to Samuel, and at Eli's insistence, Samuel relays to him the harsh truth that he has fallen short and the judgment will fall. God sees your failings and the consequences of those failings that have made you weary. God sees you. God sees your hopes and dreams. God sees your gifts that you've hidden away or not yet found. God sees your longing for relationship. God sees you. God sees your pain, frustration. God sees your anger, bitterness, resentment. God sees your selfishness and pettiness. God sees you. God sees it all, the good and the bad. All the saint and all the sinner. Is that comforting? Is it scary? Is it intimidating? That your heart is laid bare to God, that there is nothing you can do to hide from God's intense focus on the fullness of who you are. If I may, I invite you to be set free by this promise. God sees you. God sees us. It has been tempting over the last week and a half since the storming of the Capitol to say, this is not who we are. But of course, God knows that this is who we are. We are a country that has massacred indigenous people. We are a country that enslaved black bodies on the way to becoming the strongest economy in the world, and then refused to receive them as full and equal citizens of the country they built. We Christians carried out the Crusades, actively participated in, or hardly better, passively stood by, the extermination of Jews. Let go of the delusion that we are free from guilt for the state of this world. And also take heart, for God also sees us for what we are called to be, for the ideals that we espouse, that we are one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That we Christians are called to be Christ-like, laying down our lives, our privilege, our own selfish desires for the sake of our neighbor. Let go of pretending we aren't broken. To God, to yourself, to others. Be honest with who you are because God already knows it. That may feel daunting when we are so used to seeing only the best of ourselves, or at least our best intentions, even while seeing the worst in others. But hear what Philip says to his friend Nathanael. Come and see. This is an invitation into an active faith, not just to stare at a TV screen in horror and shake your head, but an invitation into relationship with Jesus, with the body of Christ. God sees you. And if you are willing to come and see how God is doing a new thing, well, you will see just how broken the world is, how far we have to go. You will also see miracles and community and promise and joy. Walk with Jesus, who sees you. And then you are invited to see the world through God's eyes, where injustice and hatred and racism and fear, how it has ripped us apart, has ripped sons from their mothers, killed by another son of a mother, has ripped opportunities out of the hands of black and brown people, has ripped a sense of safety out of the grasp of the urban poor, has ripped life out of police officers overwhelmed by underestimated insurrectionists, has ripped trust out of the hearts of our country, coming to terms with white supremacy. God sees you. Now may you see through God's eyes, where what is broken can be mended, what is hidden can be revealed, what is lost can be found. May you know this day, God sees you. Now may you see yourself and the hurting world around you with God's eyes. Eyes that see what is devastatingly broken and see what can yet be when we are only willing to go on a journey to come and see. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.